You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Jumping off a cliff, skyscraper, or bridge, and then hoping that your parachute will open before you hit the ground may not be everyone's cup of tea, but for Carl Banish, an aerial cinematographer and the father of base jumping, it became the focus of his life. His boundless enthusiasm for the sport is thrillingly captured in a new documentary, Sunshine Superman, which opens tomorrow at Sunshine Cinemas on East Houston Street. And I'm delighted to welcome the film's director, Mara Strauch, to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
First, what is base jumping? Is that an acronym?
Yes, it's an acronym that stands for building, antenna, span, and earth. And those are the objects for which you can jump from.
So this is where people jump off of tall buildings, cliffs, or bridges with a parachute?
That is correct.
And also TV broadcast antennas?
Yes, antennas is usually, they're usually for broadcast. Yes, that is true.
Is it considered a sport, a kind of a form of skydiving?
It's an extension of skydiving, but of course you don't use airplanes, so you're jumping off of objects and...
That makes it less expensive and more accessible, I assume.
That is true.
But is that the reason that it appeals to some people?
I think there's a number of reasons why it appeals to people, and the people that Sunshine Superman is about were the first people that actually did base jumping and created it. So I think these people were also looking for, you know, something different than skydiving. They'd been skydivers for many years, and they thought, well, here's a cliff. You know, that's high enough to jump from. Why not?
Have you ever tried it?
No, I have not. I've been skydiving a few times, but I have not made my way to base jumping.
And what led you to make a film about this?
My uncle was a base jumper and an aerial cinematographer, and he actually died in an automobile accident. And he had been a base jumper for a number of years, and he had collected other videos and footage of base jumping, and one of them was of Carl Banish. So I kind of discovered the story through my uncle.
And as I said, he has been called the father of base jumping. Was he the first person to do it?
No, there was other what they would call one-off jumps or kind of stunts. I mean, what Carl did was really popularize base jumping and making it more of a sport that many people could enjoy rather than just, you know, people who were doing one-off stunts.
He was an electrical engineer working for Hughes Aircraft. How did he get into skydiving and making films about it?
I think it was always a hobby of his to skydive, but also he was very much a filmmaker. And I think one of the reasons why he found skydiving so interesting and then later base jumping was because people were not really doing aerial cinematography at the time in ways that Carl would later do. Like he filmed the film Gypsy Moths, and he was doing all of the amazing aerial cinematography work in this film. And I think part of the reason that Carl, you know, found this activity really enjoyable was because he wanted to share it with others. And one way to do that was through film.
And how did he do it? Where did he attach the camera?
Anywhere he could, but he would attach it to his head, to his stomach. You know, a lot of the footage in this film is head-mounted 16-millimeter cameras, which were really big.
Mm-hmm. Not today. Today, it would be a little digital camera. It'd be a lot easier. He was using 16 millimeters.
16-millimeter
cameras.
If he
had thought of 35-millimeter, probably he would have to just ride the camera down.
Well, actually, interestingly, for Gypsy Moths, he did shoot in 35, and they used, you know, World War II kind of news cameras that they'd attached to their heads. So it was quite heavy.
Where did he jump from? I know that some of the jumps were done at El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. Did the authorities, the park authorities, or the park rangers like that idea?
I don't think they particularly liked the idea of people jumping off the cliffs in the park. I think it hadn't been really thought of before, so I think they were quite surprised.
Did they need to find places where they could have enough height and space to allow a parachute to open?
Exactly, yes. I mean, in the national parks, you know, including Yosemite, have some of the highest cliffs in the country, and there's just not that many cliffs that can be jumped from safely.
And then they would do a rock test first. What's that?
Well, you need to figure out where the wind is blowing from when you are going to do a base jump, because you don't want the wind to blow you back into a cliff. So one way of kind of testing the wind is to throw a rock off the side of a cliff or a building, or, you know, what you're going to jump from, to see where the rock will land and to make sure that you can clear the object safely.
Were these kinds of jumps legal?
There was no law against them.
Because nobody ever thought to make it illegal.
Yes. I mean, you know, still, there's no laws against base jumping. I mean, the laws that are being broken are sometimes trespassing. In the national parks, you know, there's a law that's called aerial delivery, which doesn't even apply to base jumping, but has been applied to base jumping in terms of litigating base jumpers.
So they were arrested at times?
Yes. Carl was arrested. His film was taken away from him. And, you know, this was an ongoing struggle with the national park.
But I would imagine that if I were a park ranger, I'd be worried that these people might kill themselves or need to be rescued in dangerous situations.
Yes, I can see why that would be a concern. Interestingly, in the park, people can rock climb, they can hang glide. There are many activities that are considered dangerous by the general public that are permitted in the park.
Just this past weekend, didn't a veteran climber and base jumper, Dean Potter, die during a jump in Yosemite?
He did. Yes, he did. And I think, you know, one of the problems with making base jumping illegal is that even though it's not illegal, making it something that's not permitted, sometimes it can be, you know, you're trying to jump at times when rangers won't catch you. There's a lot of quickness in how you prepare. You know, it actually makes it a more dangerous activity often to have it be something that's deemed illegal or not permitted.
I'm speaking with Mara Strock, whose film Sunshine Superman opens tomorrow at Sunshine Cinemas on Houston Street. I said East, I think it's... Is it? Yeah, it's East Houston Street.
It is East Houston Street.
Now, Carl Banish met his wife, Jean, or met his future wife, Jean, and then they both started jumping. Had she been a jumper before?
She had done a couple of skydives. You know, she had met Carl, and she went away for the summer, and she did a couple of skydives, and then, you know, she said, hey, Carl, you know, where can I skydive in Los Angeles? And then they kind of got together and started skydiving together.
And they started jumping from tall buildings?
They did.
Did they choose buildings that were still under construction because they're easy to get into?
Yes, I think, you know, they would always look for buildings that were easier to get into, yes. And some of those were under construction, especially in downtown Los Angeles.
But I would assume that the owners of those buildings might be reluctant to let them jump because they might bear liability if something went wrong.
Yes, I think that was often a concern. I mean, you know, Carl did a lot of research before any jumps that he did, and often it is hard to get permitted by building owners. Sometimes they did, though. Sometimes they were able to get permitted by building owners.
But then they also jumped off a bridge, as we said, and TV antennas. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the TV stations were going to give them permission, although they might want to film what they were doing.
Yes, I think, you know, the idea of permission is not always given. So, you know, people who want to jump off high things, sometimes they're going to jump off high things.
Now, we mentioned that BASE, their organization, is an acronym. Was it a formal organization?
Yes, actually, they created... you know, these amazing kind of base jumping patches, and they had, you know, these kind of certificates that they would give people for jumping the four objects. And when you jumped four objects, then you would become kind of a member of this club.
Did they want base jumping to be recognized as a legitimate sport?
Absolutely. Yes, they did.
Has it ever?
I think in some places it is. In Norway, there's now wingsuit competitions that take place every year, and it is not at all illegal in Norway, and it's actually become, you know, somewhat of a tourist attraction in certain areas of Norway. So there are places in the world where it really is a legitimate sport.
And the high point of the film is the attempt of Carl and Jean to set a new world record in base jumping for the David Frost TV show, and they did that in Norway?
Yes, Jean and Carl broke the world's record for base jumping in Norway.
Part of the film becomes a kind of a thriller, and we won't reveal everything that happened, but did you always know that it would serve as the heart of the story?
I did not. I mean, when I set out to make the film, it was really a history of base jumping. And then I started to understand a lot more about the story. And it is a very dramatic story. You know, at times it becomes somewhat of a tragic love story. And I think, you know, this kind of triumph and then kind of the tragedy that follows, to me, really felt like a really exciting cinematic experience.
And you had access to Carl Banish's original 16mm footage, which you've combined with interviews and reenactments. Was that made available to you from the start?
Well, at first I was going to make just a film about my uncle and kind of his friends. And, you know, then it just kind of grew and grew and grew. And I found this 16mm footage and nothing had been done with it for 30 years. And I couldn't believe that because it was some of the most beautiful footage I'd ever seen.
And then you played Jean Banish as a young woman in the reenactments.
Yes. I think it was just more of a practical choice because there was not a lot of people in Norway who could do that.
In order to make the film, did you have to recreate some of the jumps that Carl did 30 years ago?
No. All of the jumping footage is original footage that Carl shot.
You end the film with footage of a wingsuit jumper. What's a wingsuit?
A wingsuit is a suit that's kind of specifically designed so that a jumper can fly away from the cliff and have more time to kind of free float along the ground. So
they become a glider in effect?
Exactly, yes.
And then do they also keep a parachute?
Yes, you have to still open a parachute in order to survive a wingsuit jump.
But the wingsuit kind of fills up with air.
It does a little bit, but it also just kind of allows you to be more aerodynamic and kind of, you know, float on the wind a little bit, flying your body down from the cliff.
With this film, are you hoping to inspire more people to try base jumping?
No. I think what I and I think Carl as well would like to inspire people to do is whatever in their own life, you know, feels like an artificial limitation. So I think this film was meant to be very inspiring, and I hope that even for people who would never try base jumping, that they will find inspiration from this film.
You're inspiring people to take risks.
Exactly.
Because if you don't take risks, life can be rather dull.
For me, I don't know if that's true for everyone, but for me, that's true.
The film opens tomorrow at Sunshine Cinemas on Houston Street. And will it open across the country later?
Yes. We're going to open a little bit wider on May 29th, and then we'll just hopefully keep, you know, having it play in more theaters.
And I'm assuming there's another film already in the works.
There are many. We will see which one I choose.
You mean in the middle of editing three or four different movies?
No, I'm in the middle of finding my next picture, but you know, I'm looking into creating fiction. I am looking into adapting a novel. I think that people can go back and forth between creating documentaries and fiction, and I'm really excited to kind of dig into my next project.
What about the quality of 16mm? Does it hold up?
I think the 16mm footage is absolutely beautiful, and it held up really well. Carl shot a reversal stock, and it actually, you know, we were able to transfer it and do very little work to have it be as beautiful as it is. I think, you know, what's really interesting is people were shooting with 16mm, and to me, it's so much more cinematic and beautiful than what we're shooting with today. To me, it just, you know, it was absolutely beautiful and nostalgic and just, you know, really analog in the best sense of the word.
So you think digital would not be as effective?
I think that we're getting there with the cameras now, but I think that, you know, I think the challenge is there's so much digital footage and it just doesn't have quite the same, sense of being an actual filmmaker and the physical sense that film has. I still think film has a very deep kind of soulful quality that we're still kind of reaching for in digital.
There would be something a little sad about jumping off of a cliff with holding out your cell phone and video taping or hoping that the video is going to work.
People do it all the time. I think they don't know any differently.
Sunshine Superman opens tomorrow at the Sunshine Cinemas on East Houston Street. My great thanks to its director, Mara Strauch, for being our guest today.
Thank you very much.